Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. If you haven't already, would you take a second to subscribe to this podcast? That means every Monday when a new podcast comes out, it'll just show up in your queue ready to listen to. It also helps Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else know that you like the show and it'll recommend it to others. And if you really want to help us out, you could leave a rating or review. Reviews are life to podcasts, and yours would mean the world to me. Hey, I'm so excited for you to meet my friend Amy Stockstill. Amy and I are talking all about change since we're in the series, It's Time for Change, but we're talking about moving states. Amy just recently moved from Texas to Florida, and we're talking all about the grief and mourning that happens when we move. I love how Amy talks about God's love and support during that crazy transition. Amy is the founder of Let's Echo, where she loves on and teaches women to minister and walk in their gifts. Amy has such a heart for discipleship. It's just the best. I know that you're going to love meeting her and leaning into what she has to say today. So friends, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with Amy Stockstill. We are talking all things change and how life never stays the same. I'm so excited for y'all to meet her. Amy, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Of course. This is super fun. Hello to all of your followers.
Yeah. First of all, what's in your cup?
My cup, I know that this is not going to bode well with the name of this podcast, but I am not a coffee drinker.
That's okay. We can still be friends.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Grace. I actually just started drinking tea. I used to be highly addicted to Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Legit all I would drink. And now I've slowly worked myself into a hot tea. So this is honey and lemon.
What kind of tea is it? Is it just like a green chamomile? What are you drinking?
I literally don't even know. It says Miracle Tree Organic Superfood Tea.
Just tea.
The brand is Miracle Tree. Yeah. I literally got it from TJ Maxx when I was standing in line forever.
They have the best stuff. Like the best, most random things. I got some banana chips there a few weeks ago. Like sriracha banana chips. They're really good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was really fun. Okay, that sounds delicious. I appreciate that. I actually don't have my cup of coffee with me at all, so I'm not even on brand. But Amy, can you tell us a little bit about you and what you do?
Yes, of course. I am now a Florida resident. I've been here for 1 month. Whoop, whoop. And I train women communicators through an organization I founded in 2017 called Let's Echo.
All right. How did you start this? Like, I have so many questions because I'm like, where do we begin? Like,
where? I know.
Tell me all the things. So how did you start this?
Well, I married my husband almost a decade ago, and he was a pastor. I did not grow up in a pastor's family. I am a trained interior designer. So I was on track to have my own TV show. That's what I wanted. I was going to move to New York City and live in a little flat with a bunch of other people until I got a show on HGTV. And then I got married to my husband, and he is a minister of a really large church in Louisiana, his family's church. And he said, "You're a minister now." And I was like, "Okay, I don't know what that means." And long, long, long story short, basically, the Lord had me in a position where all these people were scheduled to do things and they would drop off or couldn't make it or their flight would get canceled or whatever. And I was the only option. So my husband's like, "Well, nobody else can do it. You can do it." I'm like, "Well, I can't do it. Who says I can do it?" And he's like, "Well, I do." So that's really how I started communicating the gospel. Was I was always the only choice, the second only choice. Yeah. And it was a long road, a struggle, lots of insecurities, huge learning curve, but I've come to love communicating the gospel, preaching, teaching, writing, workshops, all of it. And it was kind of a direction that the Lord really pushed me in. And so I started communicating gospel when I was 20, started preaching to small groups, and just felt like I've been preaching now, I'm 14 years.
Awesome.
And really wanted to reach back out to girls that were coming up behind me and say to them, you don't have to figure all this out on your own. Cause I never had a woman mentor me in preaching. I had lots of other mentors, but not in preaching. And so one day I was complaining to my husband and he's like, well, what are you going to do about it? And I was like, okay, well, I'll start, and along with tons of other, things that the Lord has told me to do, kind of promptings from the Lord. But I started Let's Echo really just to help the girl that was coming behind me and say, hey, you have a voice and you can speak for God too. And this is how you do it.
I love that. That's so good. That's always like my biggest thing is I would like, I have such solid dreams to like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is where we're going. But then I'm always like, but like, how?
How? Yeah. Like,
and everyone's like, just start marketing yourself. I'm like, yeah, but like, to who?
How? What does marketing mean?
I know.
Yes. I believe that every woman is called to communicate the gospel at different levels. Obviously, not everyone's going to be a platform speaker, but the Great Commission is for us to go and make disciples, and we cannot do that without our voice.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of women have been silenced in the church for various reasons, but it's my heart to let women know that you have a voice, and here's how you find your voice, and here's how you use your voice effectively.
I love that. That's so great. So you said 1 month you have been in Florida.
1 month.
It's a huge change, yeah. And we're talking about change today.
Yes.
What brought y'all to Florida from Louisiana?
We are born and raised in Louisiana.
Okay.
6 years ago, we moved to Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which we absolutely love. My husband was on staff at a church there. Wonderful, wonderful season for us. And then about a year ago, two Decembers ago, a little over a year ago, my husband said we were in Florida visiting because we've had a condo in Florida the last 10 years because my husband is a dialysis patient, which means he has no kidneys. So all of his doctors are here.
Okay.
So we've been flying back and forth no matter where we live to come here to get the treatment that he needs. And about a year ago, my husband had to get a pacemaker put in his heart and had some different complications with that. So he felt best and his doctors felt best that we moved down here. But I loved Dallas. I loved my home. I love hosting people. So I was not happy about moving. And I basically was like, I'm not moving. No, it was like a 2-year-old tantrum, you know. I just was like, no, I'm not moving. I'm settled here. I love it here. I love my church. We were going to Gateway at the time, Robert Morris's church. Loved everything about Dallas. There's so many awesome women just doing stuff in Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is great.
Making it happen. And so I really, in my heart, did not want to move. And it took a lot of prayer and a lot of time with mentors to help me. And obviously, I want to follow my husband. But when you're in a situation where you're in the hospital, tons, Florida kind of represented a very dark place for me.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, so I wasn't super pumped about moving to Florida, whereas most people think Florida, they think beach, they think great weather, which it's true. But when you're in the hospital the whole time, it's more like a pit instead of a palace. So I didn't love to move here, but really we moved here for several reasons. My husband's health, number one. Number two, my husband oversees a missions organization and they've planted about 30,000 churches around the world. And number three, he has a heart for church planters. So he's going to help plant 10 churches in South Florida.
That's amazing. And I have heard that South Florida needs more churches. Like it really is like an area that needs the gospel more than ever.
Absolutely. Yes. Because there's people coming from all over the world who are unchurched and some of them are running from things, the refugees, some of them, you know, just want a better life, but they don't know Jesus at all. Mm-hmm. Or they come from different religions. It's a very unchurched community here. So it's really easy to step in and give people hope.
That's great. And with Let's Echo, you can work from wherever?
Yep. Yep. My company started it. I do most of the things online. So, and I host retreats twice a year. So I have a retreat in Waco, Texas, Chip and Joanna are, because everybody wants to go there anyway. And then I'm actually going to host my first retreat in Florida in June. And I'll probably keep it that way. I'll do a summer one in Florida, and then I'll do a winter one right before Christmas, the first week of December in Waco. And so those weekends are 4-day retreats for women who want to communicate the gospel. Very hands-on, very practical. We teach them how to do outlines. They actually preach on a microphone, like with a microphone on a stage. They get live feedback. So it's an amazing weekend. And God always does super deep things in people's hearts. So that's really the joy. Echo is really the joy of my life. It's just bringing women together so they can meet each other and grow in their craft.
That's awesome. I'm like, sign me up. I'll go to Florida. I'll go wherever, Amy. Like, just tell me where to go.
Let's echo.co for all details.
Yes. Okay. So you have had this massive change, and it sounded like you had a year to kind of prepare, but it was also a year of tantruming, I'm sure.
It was heavy grieving.
Yes. And we moved from Alaska, so about almost 8 years ago, God did the same thing, where he was like, Jesse, we fought every winter. He hated Alaska. He was done. We're both born and raised. It was hard to leave. I was like, this is where our roots are. It's where our family is. We are not leaving. And then God was like, hey, how comfortable are you, Jeanette? And I was like, so comfy. Thanks. He's like, I never called you to be comfortable. I'm like, oh, man. So we like took a year and like really uprooted ourselves. I really see that year as like us like, okay, we need to sell our house, pull that root up. We need to like, so then we could be moved. And God sent such beautiful things in our lives since we moved to Texas, but we had to make that change first.
Yes.
It's a very hard change.
And it's one thing to say to your husband and to the world all nobly, oh, I'll follow you anywhere.
Yes.
And then he's like, great, how about this date? And you're like, nah, I didn't really mean that.
I don't want to do that. It's great in theory. It's great to go on vacations. Yeah. But like, I want to come home. And we were back home in September. And we like kind of took a step back together, just him and I, and was like, we're not home anymore. Like, this is our home state, but like our home is in Texas. Like, God's really been sweet in that.
How God does that. Yeah. I mean, I kicked and screamed moving to Texas, and then I just loved it. And you would have thought that I would have learned the lesson when it was time to move here, but I didn't. I kicked and screamed coming here, and we've only been here a month, but I have really enjoyed it so far. But you know, there's a time, I don't think that a lot of women, I don't think that we talk enough about the stages of grief.
Yep.
And, you know, when you move, you lose several things. You lose your community, and you've got to give yourself to mourn and grieve, you know, time to grieve that. You lose your home. You lose your church. You lose your family. I mean, there are these large losses that if you just try to move on without grieving, it is a recipe for a massive meltdown.
Yes. Well, and I think you're even mourning the future there that you had planned. It's, right. You know, when we talk to moms who have miscarried, it's the grief, not only of that life, but it's the grief of like what you had already hoped and dreamed for. And so when you move, it's the same, but very different, but it's the same thing. It's the grief of what was to come. And right. I totally get that.
Didn't get to make.
Yes. Yeah. And do we believe that God has all these great plans for us in our next location? Yes, but it's hard.
Right.
It's really hard. And it's a whole new stage of, like, I remember, like, psyching myself up, walking into the gym, like, okay, you're going to walk in. You don't know anybody, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to not know somebody. Like, you'll walk in and make a friend. Wake one friend.
Yeah, so, just one friend.
So hard. So what has this transition been like? 1 month in, how are you doing, first of all? How are you?
How are you? I am actually so good. I've been telling everyone, because everyone in my world, in my circle, realized that I was having a hard time. And I'm a very transparent person. My husband says I'm an oversharer.
Me too.
But I just like being open, and I like being honest, and I like when people are that way because it helps me get through real life things. And so I was vocal about it with my family and vocal about it on social media, just saying, I'm really struggling here. I'm having a really difficult time. And I just think I feel very, very loved by the Lord, because I feel like he let me throw a big tantrum for like a year, even though I was grieving. I mean, I was just wrestling through that, wrestling through trusting the Lord, but also allowing my heart to grieve and allowing my heart to acknowledge the loss. And there was a huge wrestling, and we knew that we were going to move for a year. So it wasn't like, hey, next month we're moving. Right. So every time I hung out with someone, it was like, okay, this might be the last time I see you. Let's, you know, so there was all of that. And a month in here, I look up and I'm like, man, God has been so patient with me. And I never felt condemned by the Lord to be like, okay, you need to get over this faster. I never felt pushed by him to be like, don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? Why are you being a big baby? I never felt that. I always felt like he was like, okay, you're not ready to get off the floor. That's fine.
Yeah.
And I never felt like he left me and was like, I'm going to go in the other room until you get up off the floor. I literally felt like he was just sitting on the floor with me like, all right, you're not done yet.
Yeah.
Not done yet. That's okay. Whenever you're ready, I'll help you get off the floor. And so I feel like I've gotten up off the floor and kind of, you know how, have you ever seen a kid throw a tantrum and then they get off the floor and look around and realize like, oh, we're in Disney World.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was just so mad. I was just so mad. I didn't know where I was.
Know where I was, but we're in Disney World and there's rides and balloons and candy and everything that I want. That's kind of how I feel. I feel like I got up off the floor and I feel like I was able to leave all of the negativity and the hurt and being upset about things that didn't happen that I felt like God told me were going to happen when we lived in Texas, kind of wrestling with that. And I feel like I got off the floor a new person.
Yeah.
And kind of looked around and was like, I live in South Florida. This is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No? I'm here now. We have a season in our life where we were adopting our daughter and it was just this really, really hard season. And I remember looking at my husband and I said, I think God hates me. Like, I think something happened. I was wrong. He was wrong. There's a disconnect here. Like, I'm pretty sure God hates me. And, I was at a friend's house, this older woman who, like, just kind of took us in for the weekend, and I said, like, I just want to fight it out. I'm just so mad. I just want to fight it out. And she's like, honey, you are allowed to fight with the Lord. He can handle it. And when Jesse and I talk back about that weekend, we both say we were both, like, this raging toddler. Same thing. Like, just, like, raging. Yeah. And all he did was, like, that awkward parent where you're like, I'm just going to hold this child until they stop. And that's what he did for us. Like, he just held us and we're both like, ah! And so then we come out the other side and we're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like, I trust you. Like, I guess maybe you don't hate me. We'll talk about it later.
Struggle, but thanks for helping me through that, Lord.
Yes. And it is that, like, you kind of wrestle out and you're like, okay. We can get through this. Like, we're fine.
You know what's beautiful, though? That's the same thing that happened to me. I was in a really, I was like, mad. Just, and I'm not an angry person.
Same.
I am a very lighthearted.
Glass is always, like, overflowing. It's not just half full.
Yep. The more the merrier. And I was just mad. And so I called my friend, who I was really open with, and I said, I need help. Like, and I don't want a church lady. I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want someone that's going to be like, oh, sweetheart, here's a scripture and you'll be fine. Even though obviously I believe in the power of scripture, but I needed someone who's been through hell and back and still loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what I was like, where is, because there's a lot of people that are, that nothing's really happened to them. Yeah. And so they're just, they don't understand where you're coming from when you have all this anger. And so I told her, I'm like, I need someone who has been very angry with the Lord and still has figured out a way how to move through that. And so she connected me with this lady named Lisa Jeanette, who I absolutely love, who loves, loves, loves millennials and is amazing. And I met with her, never even heard of her name before. You know, and I met with her for the first time at a coffee shop, and I literally, for like 3 hours, I cried and I laughed really hard. She made me laugh, and then I cried really hard, and then I laughed really hard. And it was, I felt like that she was an answer to prayer. I mean, she was my good Samaritan who came and scraped me off the side of the road. Yep. And put me on the donkey and was like, all right, child, you need some help, but it's on me. And she has stayed in my life ever since. And to think that I would not know her and not have this amazing, thriving relationship with her had I not been in that very difficult place is, okay, Lord, you brought me my next level, and you brought me just an incredible grandmother type, but she wouldn't have come had I not been in that hard spot.
Yep.
So thank God for women that are older than us that are willing to look at us and say, I mean, this is discipleship 101.
Yes.
So that's why it's a beautiful, hard but beautiful story.
Yeah, I love that. And the same with the lady who walked me through. She was a first-generation believer. And so there was just, like, that sweetness of, like, honey, God's got you, don't you believe? And it was like, I just don't know. So I love that. And that's true. That's discipleship. That's coming alongside one another and reaching our hands down, which is exactly what you're doing with Echo, saying like, hey, I learned all of this stuff the hard way. So let me like show you a better way. Let me show you the next steps that you should take. And I love that the generations, like, we're kind of all rallying around each other this way now. Like it's a really cool time to be in ministry. And it's a really cool time to see the church kind of working this stuff out where, I don't know if you watched the IF gathering.
I was able to go to it last year because they're in Dallas now, but I didn't get to this year.
It was so cool this year because Beth Moore spoke.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, man. They kept calling her Mama Beth. Everyone's like, Mama Beth. So true. And so Beth Moore spoke, and she said, like, I heard her speak on a podcast recently, too, where she said, like, younger generation, listen to me. Do not mess this up. We've created something amazing within women speakers, women disciplers, where we have tried really hard to create this community. And if you guys mess it up, I'm going to come for you. And it's so true. And so she, you know, Beth Moore spoke and then Jenny Allen spoke. And then they handed the mic to Sadie Robertson, who's this young little thing. And I was just like, this generational thing where I got to step back and be like, man, I feel covered on all ends. How am I going to do that? How am I looking up to a mentor and how am I reaching down to a mentee? And absolutely. So it's a really cool thing. So I really appreciate what you're doing because you're modeling that with Echo.
Yes, thank you.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truth of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God is up to on the It's Time for Coffee podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministry has helped Christians feel closer to God is through their Verse 15 devotional. Verse 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through meaningful devotion, scripture, worship, and prayer. You can sign up and get the first 15 email devotional sent directly to your inbox at first15.org/subscribe or start your day off with the First 15 devotional podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Hey, have you heard the news? My friend Blake Guiche from the Confessions of a Crappy Christian podcast and I have started a new podcast together. It's called Room at the Table. It's a place for creatives in the middle, just like Blake and I. We want to invite you to the table to talk about life, business, the Bible, and we're pulling back the curtain so you can get to know us on a different level. We are so excited to be doing this and know that with our powers combined, it's going to bless the socks right off you. So go check out Room at the Table. It's available wherever you're already listening to this podcast. Okay, back to the show.
You just moved. What has stayed the same for you this month or in this year as you prepared to move?
My passion to raise up women communicators.
Good. Sometimes we need our work, right?
Yeah. That's really been the most consistent thing, and also building. I'm a pioneer, and I love going into new spaces and making a way for other people and teaching about pioneering. I think we believe our generation actually. I think the Lord is doing something new in us where we're not compartmentalizing ministry and business. Where we're one, we're a ministry business, we're a business ministry, we're doing things for profit, but it is also our ministry and it's also our way to serve the local church. And church doesn't look the same as it did for my husband, who's a generation before me, and definitely not for his dad. Ministry for us looks different. It looks like we're doing a podcast together in different states.
Yeah.
This is ministry and it is serving the local church because we're a branch of the local church. Yep. And we are local church girls, although we are entrepreneurs and pioneers.
Yeah.
So if we can build our team, we can build the people up around us, we can build ourselves as women of God. That's something that's been real consistent for me and has been something that has kept me excited through the droughts and kept me moving forward, really, because as you're pioneering, you don't get to stop and say, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't, because I'm mad at God, I'm just going to sit on my hands. No, there's all kind of people that are waiting for you. And even in your wrestling, they're watching you.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to do it. So they're like, oh, okay, you can be having a really sucky time and still be moving towards your destiny. All right, great. You know, that we don't only move towards our destiny when we're having mountaintop experiences.
When life is good.
Yeah, because I mean, the mountain peak is so much smaller than the valley.
That's good.
The valley is way bigger, and we spend a lot more time in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. So
yeah,
that's really a constant for me.
Yeah. Well, and now here's something that I've been not wrestling with, but trying to figure out, because the Lord has really like been pushing into me like, hey, your platform is not your own. Like, your platform is my platform, and you do this really well too. But like, I am called to share the gospel. And the gospel looks like, hey, these are dirty dishes, and I'm going to serve my family by these dishes. Like, in sharing those things, how do you try to bring in non-believers and meld them to your platform? Because that we're preaching the gospel. We're not only preaching to the, we're not preaching to the well, we're preaching to the sick. How are you doing that? Tell me how to do this.
Well, I do that just by my daily life. And I think that God has actually set me up really well because of the suffering that we've gone through. And I'm going to tell you, if you've spent any time in the hospital, joy is not there.
Yeah.
And hope is not there. And peace is not there. There's chaos, there's sadness, there's confusion. There's a lot of searching and seeking people, because the people that they love the most are very, very sick. And they're wondering, where is God?
Yeah.
And they're wondering, what's going to happen to my loved one if they don't make it out of this surgery? And they're wondering, who am I and what am I doing here? So I think for me, being who I am and having joy in the middle of our extremely crazy circumstances, where my husband's in and out of the hospital, you know, 6 months out of every year, being able to go into a hospital, like, we'll go on Valentine's Day. We have to go in the hospital all day on Valentine's Day. That's a day that nobody wants to be in the hospital.
Right.
So when I share with my followers, hey, we're in the hospital, but God is still good. Mm-hmm. That piques someone's interest. And they're like, well, she's either crazy, or she's totally faking it and she's really miserable, or she has something that makes me interested and gives me hope.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I try to keep that in mind, because definitely being in the hospital is not easy ever. But also, I love to have fun. I think about this all the time. You know, I used to think that my gifts were only for other people. Hmm. Like, God has given me all of my gifts are strictly to serve other people. But as I've been in this transition, in this change, I am a very adaptable person. And I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, which I don't know if you know about the Enneagram, but basically I live for fun.
Yep. Do not feel other feelings. Just go and have a good time.
Just fun. Let's make sure we have a great experience. So, but I feel that God has built me in this way because he knew that I was going to have a lot of difficult times. And it is just my nature to see the plus side of things, and to see the half, the glass full of life and joy and hope and peace. And I think just being me and having joy and having fun, I don't really try to reach the lost, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I love that.
You know, I'm just me. And because God has wired me in the way that he's wired me, it reaches people. And I think that's, you know, for everyone. I think if really striving to reach the lost, you haven't found yourself yet.
Yep. And I think too, when we just serve exactly where we are, like, God's going to use us, because he's using willing vessels.
Right. And in my line of work, if you would call it work, I am training the church.
Yeah.
So I'm coming alongside the local church, and I am training church leaders in how to win the lost.
Yeah.
So obviously on a day-to-day basis, like the other day I was at Trader Joe's, and I'm really into charcuterie boards. It's my hobby.
Delicious.
So I was getting all the charcuterie stuff, and this lady that was checking me out, because basically in Florida, no one is from here. Everyone moves here.
Right.
So it's really easy to you know, make conversation. And she asked me what I was doing, and I told her I was making a charcuterie board for my church. And it was the easiest thing to invite her to come to church. And I was like, I would love for you to come, whatever. But in my line of work, I'm training young leaders in how to reach the lost through their testimony and through what God is speaking to them. So I'm a little more geared towards the church than the normal, maybe the normal Christian, because I'm empowering leaders within.
Yeah. But I think that's great because you know exactly, you have a clear vision on who you're talking to. And that's right. Really cool. What are you working toward right now?
I am in a very exciting season with Echo. So our three main focuses for Let's Echo this year are retreats, which we do twice a year, which we spoke about a little earlier. It is writing resources, which I'm pumped about. And then it's releasing our alumni, so the girls who come through the retreat. So 122 women have come through the retreat because we do very small retreats, but we've just did our 10th retreat in December.
That's amazing.
Amazing. And so we're focusing on using the voices that God has already brought to us. And we're focused on writing resources, and then we're focused on the retreats. So one of the resources, the very first resource that I'm writing, is a small group curriculum, which is super exciting. It's going to be a 12-week curriculum on developing your voice to make a difference, which is our slogan. And I'm actually tomorrow night is my first small group.
Yay, so you're going to walk people through it.
I'm going to beta test it.
Good. Yep. That's so awesome.
Yep. So we'll beta test it this semester. And the next semester, the girls that have already come through the Echo weekends, those 120 girls, we'll probably pick 10 to 15 of those girls and they'll beta test it. So we'll do a full year of beta testing and then we'll release it in 2021.
That's awesome. Is it so hard for you? Because I want to rush everything. But as a 7, is it hard for you to like, okay, we're going to do this for a year?
It would have been in the past, but I have dedicated the next decade minimum to Echo.
Good. That's
so
cool.
When I pray through, what does God have? Because for me, although I get to steward and lead and pioneer Echo, Echo is the Lord's.
Yeah.
He's the one that gave me the vision. And so when I ask him, he always says, go slow, go slow.
I love that.
Because he's building not only a foundation in me and in my heart, but he's building a foundation and on ramps for different girls to come on. Because it can be a scary thing to say, hey, speak for God.
Right.
Most people are like, I can't. I mean, that's how I was. I was like, yeah. What are you talking about? I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an interior designer. What are you talking about? But so we're going to just go slow. And from 2020 to 2030, all my full focus and my full commitment is for Let's Echo. So in the scope of a year, I mean, in the scope of a decade, giving 1 year to a solid curriculum, when I hope this curriculum and believe that this curriculum will go around the world,
right?
What's 1 year to make it right? And I think a lot of us do that, especially in the social media world. We want everyone to know what we're doing and we want everyone to give us accolades and praise and we want everyone to hop on. But because of that, we're not building a solid foundation. And then in ourselves through daily Bible reading and spending time with the Lord and in what we're building. And so in a year or two, we crack, it cracks, and we're not doing it anymore.
Yep.
Well, there's no reason to do that. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a year. I'm not in a rush. I'm doing this for a decade minimum.
Yeah.
I hope that it's what I do for the rest of my life, the mandate that God has given me. But so when you can see the long term, when you can stand in 10 years and say, okay, in 10 years, this is what's going to look like all around me. And that comes from personal growth. Usually I would never have done that. I would have been like, let's crank out. Because
yeah.
I can crank out 18 small group curriculums.
Right.
But that's not the pace of grace and it's not the pace of the Lord. And I'm not in a rush.
Well, I think that's the beauty of knowing our Enneagram numbers, growing into it and understanding it and then like releasing it, right? Like holding it open handed, like, okay, God, you made me to want to do so many awesome things and I'm going to do that because that's how you wired me. And like, let's have fun while we do it. And I'm just going to like hold open handed it.
And that's the beauty of a pioneer is setting out vision. And if you don't have vision, people cannot follow you because they don't know where you're going.
Right. You're just holding a tiny flashlight, like next step. And if you're pioneering, you're like, okay, I've got an idea. Like, let's go. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
You have to build your team around it and you have to keep in mind the people that are following you.
Yeah.
So if I'm rushing, then the girls that are on my lead team, the girls that are on our volunteer team, the girls that have gone through Echo, I have to keep in mind the pace that they're at and go that pace.
Yeah.
So it's a lot bigger than me.
Yeah. That's
if it was
so cool.
just me, I would just steamroll.
Yeah.
You're building a team and you're building an organization. You don't steamroll. You go at the pace of which your people are at.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. That's so cool. And I like that you bring it back to pioneering. You're like, this is exactly who I am. This is what it is. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the last few questions I ask everyone, because after these awesome conversations, I believe that we're friends. And if I don't know these things about you, then I don't believe that we're friends.
All right. What do we got?
All right. So the first one is, who or what is your guilty pleasure social media follow?
I love following Christian meme accounts.
Okay. There's some that are really funny. Like, if you don't know who has a water buffalo, like there are some that I was like deep dived in the other day. I thought I was laughing so hard about like
That's
childhood
the
Christian
Instagram
stuff.
Name account. Who has
it? No, it was, I can't remember what the account was, but it was like Larry at a table. And it was like, if you can't answer who has a water buffalo, then did you even grow up in church? Or something like that. It was so funny where I was like, this speaks to my soul so deeply.
I just think that people on the internet are hilarious.
Yes.
And some might think that the church memes are a little blasphemous, but I think that they're funny and I love to see people's humor. So those are my
faves. What's your coffee order or your tea order if you go out?
I love strawberry hibiscus tea. I love the color. I love the taste. It's my fave.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. What's one of your biggest pet peeves?
Anything that's wet when it's not supposed to be wet.
Oh.
Like the bottom of my pants, if it's raining and they get wet, can't stand it. I hate condensation on the outside of my water bottle.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
Do you remember like the flare jeans? There's like flare and really long and it's coming back in style now. And how it would get wet up the back of, and now it's back in style, and that's all I can think of. I'm like, I can't wear those because I hate that feeling.
It makes me cringe, like, thinking about it.
Do you remember that? Oh,
yeah, absolutely. When I was in high school, everybody only wore flare pants.
Yes, and like tight, low-rise flares.
Yes, and then they were extra long. I'm very short, so they were extra long, so then you would step on them, and they would get holes, like, in the back.
Yes, and then it, like, it goes up,
Yeah, terrible.
The worst. And if it was a rainy day, oh, it was just terrible. I'm really sad that's back in style.
I know. And I am not, that does not look good on my body type. So I'm like, people, let's get back to the skinnies real quick.
Yeah. What's something you've read, watched, or heard lately that you're obsessed with?
I absolutely love the Gold Digger podcast by Jenna Kutcher.
Yes, it's so good. She's great.
She is so good and very, very practical. Another one that I love, I mean, I do a lot of personal growth, so I'm trying not to overwhelm people. But I also love Jordan Peterson.
Oh, I don't know.
He's very heady.
Okay.
He was a professor out of Canada, and he stood up for freedom of speech because they were trying to make it a law that you had to call transvestites by pronouns or something crazy. And he said, I shouldn't have to. And that it put him on the map. But he's brilliant, and now he travels all over the world. He has a huge YouTube following. What's great about Jordan Peterson is that the lost are very attracted to him.
Cool, because he's pretty heady.
He's very heady, and he's not a professing Christian, but it's crazy because he uses the Bible in all of his talks.
Hmm.
So he's a very interesting character, but he wrote a book called The 12 Rules of Life that are absolutely amazing.
To look them up. That sounds great. Where can we find you? Where can we follow along? How can we just like learn more about everything that you're pioneering for us as we grow?
Sure. My personal account on Instagram, I'm pretty much only on Instagram,
Same.
Is Amy Stockstill, AmieStockstill. And also the same goes for Let's Echo. It's letsecho.co. There is no M. And it's not .com, it's .co. And that's also our website. So it's Let's Echo, LetsEcho.co.
I don't know if I would have been able to do that.
I was like, let me see how this is. That's where I live. I live on Instagram through Amy Stockstill and through letsecho.co. And then everything that if you want to know about our resources, if you want to know about our Let's Echo weekends, that's all on letsecho.co.
Awesome. Amy, thank you so much for your time. This was so much fun and so encouraging.
Yes, of course. I love it. Thanks for having me.
I really loved this easy and fun conversation with Amy. She was just so much fun to get to know. I hope you felt the same way. I love that she is a friend of many and that she has a heart for discipling women. I also really love that she talked about being a pioneer. How are you being a pioneer right now? What's keeping you excited? Being a pioneer means working and wrestling and setting an example. Sometimes that can be in our home. Sometimes that's in our work. Let's do it. The world needs us to lead the way. So come on. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come check me out. I'm at Jeanette Tapley on Instagram and at The Jeanette Tapley on Facebook. Everything you need to know about today's episode will be in the show notes at itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait for next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friends.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.